Heavenly Father, and it is near your heart where we can let it all out. Everything that bothers us, tempts us, our failures, everything, Lord, we know we can come to you. We thank you, God, and we don't thank you near enough. I lift up my heart in my hands and spirit to you, dear God, and I thank you. The opportunity, the door you opened for me to come up, I don't understand it, but Lord, I just pray that you be with us today. May our hearts be open to whatever is said this morning from all of us and each and every one of us to each other. May we do it to glorify you. Thank you, God, for your strength. Thank you for the faith that you give us and the love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Phyllis. I do look forward to seeing Jesus' face. Our scripture reading this morning is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
You know, that's quite a verse. Because thou hast lost thy first love. Who is the Laodicean church? Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm going to open my mouth. And Lord, you know how I am. And I pray, dear God, that these people We'll all receive a blessing, all of us, Lord, from what you have for us this morning. I know a light came on when I started reading and studying things, and Lord, I thank you, but I want this light to shine bright for everybody, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, amen. What causes a group, when Jesus said, yet will I really find faith when I come? And he says to us in Revelation, I know thy works, that you're neither hot nor cold. Were we ever hot? And are we cold? And if we were hot, how did we get too lukewarm? Speaking of myself, I've been lukewarm for a long time. And during that time when I claimed to believe in God, I was cold, frigid, really cold. And I really wanted to go out and win souls for the kingdom. And I saw that I wasn't worthy for that because of my temper, things that got to me that really affected me, how I got along with my church members and how I try to get along with everybody, sit and be humble and everything, but I let things get to me in such a way that it not only infected me, but it affected others in the church. A person can be a cancer in the church and cause other people to be affected by something that's going on with the person that's affected badly. I'm going to tell you a quick little story that happened to me recently. I know really probably no one really cares about things like this, but I do. I believe that everyone in this room in one way or another is affected with the same thing that I've been affected with. The sermon that I heard last week startled me. It rings just as powerful this week as it did last week. Kirsten preached, and she said, "You people don't realize how soon he really is coming. But some of us do, but we can't seem to get in gear." About 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, I got a call. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm not pumping myself up in any way. I'm going to let you guys know something, that my wife and I have been through something terrible this past 3 or 4 months. And I know she's wanted to call the church and have pray, but I didn't want the church to know personally what was happening. But I'm going to share a little bit. Patty Ritchie's office called me. I know some of you already know this. And they put me in the Veterans Hall of Fame. And I thought, well, boy, that's pretty cool. Me? I'm from Oregon. What in the world are they doing this here? I'm in the state of New York. I'm not even a native here. But nevertheless, I started thinking about it. Now, I had put away things for a long time that was destroying me. And I tried to kill it by drinking, by doing drugs, and everything else. And finally, when I grabbed a hold of something in music, and I said, "I'll use this music." They wanted to control me back then and have me sing for the world. But I didn't want to do that. My mom didn't raise me that way. It's just all there is to it. But I wanted to sing. And I started singing. And I started writing songs and singing them, love songs to God. And truly, that's what they were from me. But there was still something wrong. I mean, I was quick to jump, quick to fight everything. Anybody pulled out in front of me, I didn't just shake my fist. I'd follow them in, and here I have Dan Honeycutt, gospel singer, on this such a vain thing. But when Patty Ritchie's office called, something woke up inside me, and I started getting agitated. I started thinking about the past, and even up at the Veterans Hospital, I snapped and I lost it. And then my doctor calls me and said, "Dan, you got some problems. We want you to talk to a person down here. His name's Kyle." And it had to do with PTSD. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and I ever felt this way, that PTSD was something that people used, that they were wusses. It was an excuse for something that they wanted to get away with. Okay, I understand. It's just the way it is because I can't help it. Well, I didn't believe in it until I started going to these meetings, and I started having dreams at night. I've been afraid to go to sleep. I wake up shaken. I sat around. I started crying all the time, telling my wife more horror stories than I have ever told my kids. Nobody ever heard the things that my mouth was opening up and confessing from my childhood through the war up through time. And how I put this stuff asleep, and now all of a sudden I can't sleep. And it's been horrible, terrible, until just recently. I got somebody that knew what they were doing, and they started talking to me. They even called us in. My wife had to talk to them too, because she was going through it too. Terrible for her. It was terrible. And terrible for anybody around that knows me, but I hid it the best I could. But I found help, and I let it be known to them that the only reason I'm alive today is because God had his hand on me. My mother prayed at her dying bed. My aunt prayed for me. I've told you about her before. My brother Chuck. You all know who he was. A light came on, and I realized that God loves me so much that he has not only put up with me, but he has protected me and guarded me. What brings on post-traumatic stress? It can be something that happened 50 years ago or 15 minutes ago. I believe that with all my heart. I know people in this church that suffer from some sort of post-traumatic stress. And I won't say everybody, but I think I'm safe to say most everybody in here suffers one way. Either we have a wife or somebody that's a drug addict, or a son or a daughter, somebody that we love very much. We don't know what to do. We don't know that we can take it to God with all of our heart. But do we believe in God? In Psalms, it tells us always, seek my face. David says, you said, seek your face, so I'll seek your face. And I wondered just exactly what that meant. Seek my face. I woke up one morning in despair. I said, Lord, help me. Just help me. I didn't want to get up at 3 o'clock again. Like every morning, I wasn't sleeping. And I lay there and I started thinking about what her and I have been reading in The Desire of Ages. And this thought came into my mind about, I call her Mary, but the lady at the well. And how Jesus was weary. He was tired and he sat down at the well. He told his disciples, go in town and get meat so we can eat. Now Jesus knew exactly why he was at the well. He knew. And along comes this lady, just lolling along, probably spotted Jesus, but notice he was a Jew, and Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans anyway. But here she is doing what she's doing, and Jesus just out of the blue says, I thirst, please give me some water, give me a drink. And he says, what? Who is this? You're a Jew, and Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And as I'm thinking about the story, and Jesus knew everything about this lady, I'm imagining in my mind, and I'm going to read you something a little bit that Solomon was told by God. It's just incredible. But I'm imagining in my mind Jesus sitting there on the well, and Mary's talking to the great teacher and ends up saying, well, pretty soon, I wanted to change the subject because this guy knew what she was. And Jesus said, well, if you would have asked me, I would have given you a water that you would have never thirsted again. Oh, please give me this water. Give me this water. Go get your husband. And she told him, I have no husband. He told her the truth. She told him the truth. And he acknowledged that. He exposed her no more, but she is so excited on the inside. And in my mind, while this is all going on, I'm trying to imagine looking at the scene and seeing the face of Jesus in my imagination. And I see them sitting there, and I can see them talking just like I can now. And I'm trying to look, and I can't see Christ's face. So that didn't work for me. Another morning came up. Despair, anxiety. I was going through this for some time. And we had the next few nights we studied about another publican that was going to listen to this teacher, this great teacher. It could be the Messiah. This was going through his mind. This is in the spirit of prophecy. It's Saul on Levi and Matthew. But he took it in like, well, this is him. I know it's got to be him. It is him. But I'm nothing but a traitor. I'm a traitor. I'm nothing. And the Jews didn't like him because that's what they thought of him. Nothing but a traitor, and that's what he figured. And he left, but he had the desire. And as Christ looked out there when he was teaching, he could read everybody at one time because it's a God thing, but we don't understand, but he could do it. And he read the thoughts of that publican. And here this publican is. Now here I am again. I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about this. And I'm watching Levi in my mind. And he just put money down. And he's doing this and that. And people are walking by and he looks up. And he spots this man coming towards him. And this man is looking right smack dab in his eyes, staring him down. But he had such a peaceful, unloving face because, not that I've seen it, but because from what I study, that's what Jesus was always peaceful and loving. Even when he rebuked the Pharisees, he still did it with tears in his voice and in his eyes. He's pleaded. He wanted them to recognize him as the Son of God. He was their only hope for salvation. There was no other way. And he tried to get through. But they were so hard, they couldn't get it. They couldn't accept the message. But as Jesus was walking towards Matthew, and Matthew's looking at him, and maybe he's trying to look away, but he can't. And Jesus walks right up to him, like he could just reach out and grab him and hug him. But all he said was, "Come, follow me." And when I thought about that, laying there in bed, I got up, my wife, you can ask her, I was so full of joy when we got up, both times, even with Mary at the well. But this time, I saw the face of Jesus in Matthew. The expression that I saw in Matthew's face with his eyes. And I've got quite an imagination, let me tell you. I really do. I do. And this is something that I've learned in the scriptures. I don't care what page you turn to in the Bible. There's a message there. It's a beautiful message. I don't care where you turn to. There's people today running to and fro wherever they can go because they don't feel like they're being fed. I want to tell you something. If we're not being fed, it's our own fault. Because I don't care where you go. When Sister White held that Bible out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Holy Bible," she meant it. From page one to the very last page, it's full of jewels. It's full of hope and joy. My affection that I had, infection, I feared that maybe I was affecting some of my friends like Dwayne, even John, my little buddy down there, other people, because I've always been the type, I just couldn't stay. I have to go out the door. That's post-traumatic stress. I never realized this. Never did I realize it. I was infected. They got me classified as severe post-traumatic stress, and they want me to do this. They want me to do that. They want me to take pills. Now that I know what's going on, the things that happened, I've been blaming myself all my life. And what has happened has happened. I know this, God forgives me. This I know. And I know that whatever each one of us might be suffering with, that might make yourself lukewarm, or might make others in the church, and it spreads like cancer, because it can, we really need to take another look at the face of Jesus. I'm telling you, because like she said last week, he is coming. And I know he's coming soon. I've been seeing things that it's wrapping up very quickly. And there's going to be some loss. I don't want to be lost. And I know there's people in here more than anything that want to live forever. Hey, whether or not we eat up there, just to be able to go into the city, to see the things that we can imagine in our own mind, it's incredible. I want to be there. And talking about imagination, I want to read you something here right quick. Listen to this. This is in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of life thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. And if thou forsake him, he will cast them off forever. I have to say that when I first went to these PTSD meetings, I flat out told them, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I don't want to be here. I don't believe in this stuff. You know, it's a crutch. But I went anyway. I started going. Every meeting that came up, I started going. And as the other veterans were confessing, especially the Vietnam vets, because this was a war that wasn't right. No war is right. But this wasn't a war that we were really fighting for our country. And we were caught up in guilt so bad. There were some terrible things that happened. And I couldn't get it into my mind that God has set me free. And I am free. I'm a simple guy. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe in God with all my heart. When I get up 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, and I can't sleep, and I look up, I get more peace in looking up into them, the stars in heaven. If you haven't taken the time to do something like that and go out and picture God in his infancy, because he is infinite, just like the heavens are infinite. He's infinite in our hearts if we let him come in and be infinite. It's a God thing. And it works. I know I'm experiencing it. And I'm going to tell you something else. I believe the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from the earth. But on people that are truly searching for the Word of God with all their heart, mind, and soul, they're receiving more of the Holy Spirit. We're no better, no worse than anybody else. But it's how we stand with God. Are we searching for him? Looking to be hugged by him, loved by him. And when we are, he knows it. And he comes in a special way that is just, it's beautiful. I want to read you something here. Watch ye therefore, this is taken from the Desire of Ages. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Listen to that. That's what it says, always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That's in Luke 21:31. We have reached the period, she says, foretold in these scriptures. The time of the end is come. The visions of the prophets are unleashed, and their solemn warnings point us to our Lord's coming in glory as near at hand. The Jews misinterpreted and misapplied the word of God. Makes you wonder, is Satan somehow getting to us in a way that we're not seeing as clear as we want to see? Are we really looking? And they knew not the time of their visitation. The years of the ministry of Christ and his apostles, the precious last years of grace to the chosen people, they spent in plotting the destruction of the Lord's messengers. Earthly ambition absorbed them, and the offer of the spiritual kingdom came to them in vain. So today, the kingdom of this world absorbs men's thoughts, and they take no note of the rapidly fulfilling prophecies and the tokens of the swift coming of the kingdom of God. We all know, really, I know everybody in here is seeing what's happening in the news. Maybe some in here doesn't have a Facebook or they don't get to see the news, but the talk is out there and they're pushing a Sunday revival. They've already passed that the Sunday is the national prayer day. Trump has showed it. He signed all the papers. It is the day. All the evangelicals were all around him as he was signing these papers. What's he going to Korea for, Japan for, China for, these places? The world's going to come together as it is. The four winds are being held a little longer before the destruction comes. But before we annihilate ourselves, we have a promise. Christ is going to come. And who's going to be able to stand when Jesus comes in all of his glory? I tell you, it's a scary thing if we really, truly haven't been. We can sit and we can quote scripture and we memorize these things. But do we truly believe? Does the light come on and shine bright? Real bright, so bright that we're going to shine and people are going to see us. The other day, I came home and I told my wife, I went up to the Veterans Hospital, I had to go to the pharmacy, and I was the only one up there. And this man, hey, I was walked over and I had a smile on my face. Hey man, it's good to see somebody is looking good. And I sat down. I feel pretty good today. How are you doing? He says, I'm doing good, but I sure don't like this weather and what's going on out there. It's just terrible. And I said, you mean the news? He said, that too. I said, I know what's going on. Before I got out of the car, I had asked God, Lord, let me be a blessing somehow. Don't let me be bitter towards anything. I have been praying this day in and day out. I've been praying more because it says pray always. And it says that all over the place in the Bible. How can we miss it? But I sat there and he said, what are you talking about? I said, Jesus is coming. Yeah, they've been saying that a long time. My mouth opened up and no stuttering, nothing. I gave him Daniel 7 and 8 in Revelation and told him a little about the beast, what is going on in the world, and how the prophecies point to our time. It came out of my mouth. It wasn't me. I'm telling you, it wasn't me. And my wife knows me. I don't make things like this up. It came out so perfectly, I started boasting at first, man. And then I realized I had prayed, Lord, let me be a blessing. And this came out to that man. We're giving Bible studies to a guy. His name is Bill. He's a veteran over here. Now, he had quit. He decided he was going to stop. I went over and saw him last week. And there was a man there, his name was Floyd. And now not only is he going to do the Bible studies, but Floyd is going to join in. He wants Bible studies too. I spent a half hour with him, played a little guitar, sang a little bit of stuff so he could play the harmonica. And we got to talking about salvation and how we can come to Christ just as we are And we don't have to try to clean ourselves up, nothing. He'll clean us up. And he decided he wants to do these Bible studies. He's going to keep it up. Whatever came out from the Holy Spirit in such a way, it wasn't me. It was God. It was a God thing. We're all supposed to be on our guard everywhere we go. Everyone that we see, whether it's Walmart or anywhere else, be ready with the full armor of God. Be ready to open our mouth and confess the name of Christ. The Lord will open a door for you. You won't believe. I'm telling you. And when it does, make sure you let him know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank him for every little thing that we do, especially when it comes to God. Because it really, that's about the only thing that matters anymore. I know people in here's got kids they're worried to death about. I do. And what have we been getting now, babe, from our prayers? Our kids that are in so much trouble with drugs and death and this and that, they're coming to us because they want to know this. They want to know that. What they want to know, what they can tell their friend. They want us to pray for them. God is showing us in a little way that he is working in our families, that we do. If we're asked questions, we answer them however God lets us answer them. But he does the rest. We can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does what he does, but we have to do what we are told to do, and that's confess the name of Jesus to anyone who will listen. And that's just about everything in a nutshell up here. I had other things, but I know it's that time. But my desire is, and I know it's Will's desire, and Kirsten's, and John's, and we come up here, and we want to preach something that's going to help our church, help us to get rid of the cancer that's eating us up, because all it is an infectious disease that comes from Satan. I don't care what your tribulations are, it's from Satan himself. And he's not allowed to come in here. And every now and then he tries, but I remember more and more, it's getting easier and easier. But one day, the trials are going to come and we're all going to make a stand. Those that are truly looking for God, truly looking for him and wants to live with him and be close to him. I figure I'll probably be close to him because I need him more than anybody I know. I do. My wife will tell you. It's been a mess, and my wife's got permission. We have a friend, Phyllis, that comes over, and we appreciate her when she comes over. She makes us laugh. We make her laugh, and we talk about God. We talk about other things. Brian was over. John Adolfi was over. It was neat to have, and that's we don't do this hardly ever, but to have brothers and sisters come to our house from our church, what a blessing. And if you haven't experienced it, you need to experience it. And if it's on the Sabbath, keep it Sabbath. Keep it Sabbath, because walk in Christ, walk in the Sabbath, walk in the other days what we're supposed to do, but keep the Sabbath holy to God. He will bless you. He will bless you. He sure blessed us. And I thank you, God, for what you've done in our life. And that's my prayer. But we're going to close this. Heavenly Father, oh God, thank you, for you are a real God. You're the only God. And your Son, Jesus, is our Savior, your Son. And the Holy Spirit, thank you for him, for he comes and teaches us about Jesus and you. And we take it to heart, Lord. Sometimes we still fail you, but we know you never leave us and you never forsake us. And help us all in this room, Lord, to do everyone in here needs a special touch today before they leave, Lord, let them know how much you love them, even in feeling, Lord, in everything. It's my prayer request that everybody realizes how much they are loved by God in heaven. We are the church. We are the Laodiceans. And we don't want to be lukewarm, Lord. And we're crying out to you with our heart. Make us hot, Lord. Make us so hot that when people see us, they know that we know Jesus and we know you. Please, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.